episode of Survivor 46. My name is Sheldon, here with the legendary Kevin Gilreath. Kevin Gilreath, what was that?
This episode, though, Sheldon, was... It was more back to what I was looking for, less of the stories, but still the stories. It was an interesting episode, and I have some things I want to say about it.
Yeah,
that we're
going to talk about. Kevin, I got a lot of things to say about it, and I actually agree with you in certain ways that it was a little closer to the nice balance. I think 2 hours might be a little too much, unless it's an opening episode, final episode.
Yeah.
I think an hour and a half is a nice balance. We didn't get unnecessary stories. We didn't get a lot of stuff. We saw gameplay. We saw a great challenge. We got a fun journey. Mm-hmm. I think it was a good episode. However, what I saw on the episode really concerned me. And we're going to get into it. If you're joining us on YouTube, please, please, please feel free to comment to us. We love hearing what you're saying during the episodes. But yes, as Kevin said, check us out on your favorite podcast player. I love podcasts. It's what I do every morning when I wake up and take my doggy for a walk. Let's go and let's do it. So, Kevin, as usual, we are going to be starting off with our top four moments.
Before we get into the top four, I wanted to talk about something from last week, Sheldon.
Okay.
You mentioned Soda being a bit of a bully.
Yeah.
And with her making Venus feel a certain way.
Yeah.
This week, man, we have Venus like making plans. I have no idea how she's making plans by herself. Venus was the person. I feel like Venus is the person that they have said Venus is. That is.
I still don't disagree with what I said last week about Soda. This truth. Like I on the surface, I feel like I should love her. Like she seems fun. Like she's creative. She's smart. She's a teacher. She's a bigger girl like me, a bigger girl. And I don't know. I feel like I should love her, but every time she's on the screen, she does something to me. And I have to say the exact opposite about Venus, because I feel like I need to hate her, but every word that comes out of her mouth, I love. It is this weird dichotomy.
It's an interesting situation with the two of them. We got a lot less Soda this episode. We got
of people, because by the way, on this episode, and we are going to talk about him today, Banu broke the record for the number of confessionals ever in an episode with 13 confessionals.
See, this was the episode was Banu-rific. Yes. It was Banu all over the place. I did want to ask you one last thing before we wrap up on Soda and Venus. As we know, we're taking these episodes now, we know that you've watched the episode. As Don says here in the chat, her coworker and her recap every Thursday morning.
You
so
better.
We're watching the episode, we're talking about it. So we're taking a more comprehensive look of the episode. So as we know, there's two tribes that win immunity, and immediately they pass the idol back to other people. Mm-hmm. Both of them did. And this time when Venus and that tribe win, Soda doesn't reach for it, but she immediately, they handed it to Venus once again, because I think she's just in the front. And then she immediately passes it back.
Yeah,
I don't think that was meant to be bullyish the other two times.
I don't think it was meant to be bullyish ever. And I think the only reason Soda didn't, we're going to talk about this, but the only reason Soda didn't reach for it is because I actually think they all realized exactly what Venus did, passed it to Hunter, because Hunter won that challenge.
We'll talk about Hunter. Right?
Okay, so Kevin, let's get into it today. We're going to start off with our first moment of this evening, of the day, of the episode. Mm-hmm. And here we go. We got to start with finding a gem. We start this episode off, and something I'm not sure we've ever seen before on Survivor without it actually being shown as a flashback. On our screen, we go back and it says, 4 days ago. The Survivor is basically saying, you know what? We don't do an episode for the 2 days, 3 days, however long it is these days. We're actually going to do a little interspersed thing because, hey, you know what? We have time this episode. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Maybe they should have done an episode before when I saw too much shit I didn't need to see. But fine, we saw it last night. And what do we see? We see this tribe going on an idol hunt all together, all of them knowingly knowing they're really not going on this hunt altogether.
This was quite the interesting experience because we're like, okay, we're all going to look for idols. We're all aware of this. Let's go look together because that way no one's suspicious for looking. We all know everybody's looking. So as a collective, they go out there. And as I think it was Moira, Ryle's out there, she was talking about how you have your eyes on each other as well as looking for the idol itself. And as we see them doing it, right, Charlie and Jim are looking in the same area. And one thing I really do love about Survivor is when they give you the camera shot of like where the thing is, and you're seeing how close the people are to the thing. And so we see the beware advantage in a tree, as Jim consistently and constantly stated, I feel like this tree probably has something. Yeah. You know, I feel like this tree has something. And as they were looking, sure enough, lo and behold, the tree did have something. And I loved how Jim just reached in there, grabbed it, put it right down in front of her pants, and went right back to looking. When all she wanted to do was open the thing up. She just wanted to see what it was.
And?
Oh, it was a beware advantage. And it said...
Well, it was. It was. Yeah. But I have to say, like, we have to, like, really give it to Jim, because Jim didn't just pick up this advantage. It was as if nothing happened. It was masterful acting. Yep. Nobody saw it. And there were people right beside her. It was
grabbed, put in there. Where is the thing? We're still looking. We're still looking. We're still looking.
So fast. And she didn't get paranoid. It was just there. And, you know, same beware advantage as we've seen on other tribes that Tiffany got already an actual idol from. And she knows that as soon as her tribe loses immunity, loses the next challenge, if they ever lose a challenge, she will get more information and potentially lose a vote. But I have to say, Kevin, one of the things I'm really happy about is that we're not getting a bazillion advantages. I am so happy. There seems to be one idol, and then these journeys, you might get an extra vote. I love it. I hate it when there's dozens of advantages and it's convoluted and you can't actually play the game in the way it should be played, in my opinion, socially.
Well, I thought it was interesting here because Don says here in the chat, Jim did that real slick, but why would you wait until it's dark? Is the moon really that bright that she could read that? I thought that was so interesting because in the dead of night, Jim decides to go and dig up underneath where the tree is. I'm more impressed at the fact that Jim knew what tree to go back to in the dark. And then once she got there, she then knew where to dig in the dark, found it in the dark, and then read with both, I'm assuming, the moonlight dawn and the light off the camera.
Yeah. Well, I highly doubt she thought that there would be multiple steps to this, which is why she went at night. She thought, yeah, I'll go at night. I'll pick up my thing, deposit it in my underwear again, and go to bed.
Correct.
So I don't think she thought there would be multiple steps to this. And I have to say, I don't know if I would have done that. And I'm not saying she did it wrong, and I think she did it right because nobody caught her. But I would have been scared that I would be too loud at night and I would be the person that goes away for a while we all sleep.
For too long.
I would be afraid that it's impossible nobody would wake up.
So question for you, Sheldon. Do you think, and I it's a two-part question. Do you think the producers helped her find the tree? And do you think if they did, would you be upset about that?
I don't think they helped her. And if they did, I would be upset. Yeah.
You would be upset. I would. I don't. I think they might have helped her, but I don't. And I would not be upset because she made it clear what her intentions was. It's the dead of night, so it's not like she's lost. She just can't find the middle of the night. If I am the show producer, if I'm the producer on the show, it makes for better TV for her to find the truth. No. So like, well,
it makes for better TV for her not to find the tree and be lost. We've seen that a few seasons ago where somebody couldn't remember where they buried their idol and looked like a fool.
We're not trying to edit Jim like a fool though. Well, like based on how the gameplay is.
But Kevin, I don't think they know how they're gonna edit these things before they're done. I think they work backwards.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Don says wants to get in the chat. Why did she hide it under some brush? I think she needed to just dish the thing. And in the morning, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
In the morning, I'll figure it out. But tonight, I need to go put it somewhere.
She needed to go quick. She needed to make it feel like it wasn't longer than a quick poop. That's what it needed to be. Like a quick bathroom break.
And even if it wasn't a quick poop and it was just a long poop, I can't be gone for an hour. I need to be gone for like 10 minutes.
And I also say it's not like their producers are digging this thing deep. They're making it a little bit easier to find, and I'm okay with that. Like I'm completely. Yeah. They don't need to dig for hours. Give them the advantage. It's fine. You earn other things.
Well, you earn this. You found the clue. You found the clue. That's the thing that's actually hidden.
Yeah.
The fact that you have to dig underground. I mean, whatever. Like, put an X there. I don't give a fuck. Like this is.
So thus far in this game, when it comes to advantages, here's what we know. We know who has an idol.
We know that Tiffany has an idol. She not just had the big wear advantage. She found the advantage. She got her vote, and she has the idol. We know that Jim has
the big wear advantage.
In the box, but she does not have a vote currently because she has to wait till they lose, and then she has to find the key to open the box. And we also know that Raiden has the beware advantage.
Randon
has the beware advantage. Did he find the box?
He found the box, but he can't find the key because he doesn't have the instructions because they didn't lose yet. So at this point, we got one full idol and two maybes. We're about to have a few other things, but we know where the powers are. We know who's got whatever going on. And I think it's time for us to talk a little bit about our immunity challenge, where Kevin
is
so right, because in this challenge, winners win and losers, they lose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because we get our first real hunter sighting in this episode. And I mean, first and foremost, just like I talked in the preview episode, this man just talks about school all the time. And sure enough, here he says, I went to school. And I'm a real good school guy, and I was going to be a doctor and go to medical school. I don't even know if he's going to be a doctor. He said, I'm going to go to medical school. And I decided not to go to medical school. I want to go back to my hometown and then teach at a school.
Who goes to medical school and doesn't become a doctor? What are you talking about?
I thought he just wanted to do more schooling, Sheldon. I don't know. He just wanted to keep going to school, get extra classes.
But he was chosen as, it sounded like the small town scholarship. Like if you're from a very small city in a small town, village, whatever, in a small state, that's what he got.
Yeah.
You hate this guy because he only talks about school.
That's why, and you know what it is? It's because we watched Hunter make a bed, and that's dope. Yeah, okay, so that's cool. We're gonna get into this challenge.
This is window level of furniture making.
Yes. Like window level furniture, but whenever he speaks, he's speaking about school, and it's like, I want more to you than school.
Okay, but hold on,
you're doing cool stuff.
Hold on, he is not speaking about school. Justin Camp. He's speaking about school because the producers are making this package to tell them about his story. And look, not everybody has a cry story. His cry story is he was given a pass and free money to medical school, and his big decision in life is he decided to be a school teacher. That's his story. That's it. Like you can't do anything wrong. That's him.
Well, I do love the fact that he decided to be a school teacher, right? And then he pulls the mask off and he's like, and I'm also a part of the dream team. I've been making challenges for the last 30 years by myself here at the house. And then you look and they're full scale challenges that he didn't just do 3D puzzles here. He has built giant contraptions. And I think, I swear to you, Sheldon, it came in handy tonight. Look, in this episode.
That's exactly, okay. We talked about this last week about this crazy edits of all this crybaby stuff. The only reason they gave us a hunter session here is because he was about to kill this challenge. And he yes. won that challenge for his entire tribe. And you're right. The only reason he won was he's done every single part of that. He's rolled on a log. He's thrown the things up in the air.
I was going to say, forget the log part. He probably has built a 10-foot pole, like a basketball hoop, that has the thing sticking off, because that is a regular survivor thing where you have to throw the beanbags up and either A, put it into a net, or B, have it sit on a thing. So he probably has a multi-purpose pole, two poles, 10 feet high, that he uses for the two different challenges. And he probably has shot the basketball. He probably better than Caleb, because Caleb was great. And look,
this guy is Carson on steroids.
Yeah,
absolutely, Carson on steroids. And I love it. I love it. I've been watching a few interviews over the last few weeks with Sandra Diaz-Twine talking about her experience on the Traitors. And one thing she kept saying on every interview, you know what I did before I went on the Traitors? I watched every season of Traitors that was out twice. She did her homework. This guy, he did his homework. He is dangerous.
Especially once you get, when they do the challenge where, you have to hold the thing and then creep up and then put the puzzle pieces, I want them to flash back to his house while he's standing on a beam and he's holding it and creeping forward. I want him to do Sima Motion. I want you to look, he has his own version of Sima Motion where he does it with 13 balls, where he's putting there. And he does it with no hand. He just does it with his teeth.
Oh, my God.
I want him to have done all of these things preparing for this challenge. Because in this challenge, we watch as their tribe is behind. And he single-handedly. Correct. And he single-handedly gets the win. Winners win. And Hunter comes out to win.
Look, I have to say, I actually really like this challenge. It was a usual survivor challenge, climb a thing, jump over,
water thing.
But the difficulty was that water was nuts. It reminded me of a few seasons ago when they actually had to stop the challenge midway.
Well, Jonathan was out there.
You saw it on some of the players. They were all, I've never seen them so slow. This is day 7. This isn't day 30 or 25. Yeah. They were so slow coming out of that water. That not only did Hunter have an advantage and have the ability to bring his tribe back because of his experience, I think as the strongest guy probably on that island, maybe him and Q, he was the only one that had anything left in his tank. And that plus the bouncing helped him so much.
Let's talk about that phenomenal move. So there's a log, right? As you know, they had to get over the log. Each person had to help each other over this spinning log. And it's like one of those circus type deals where the thing constantly spins in either direction. And so you can't really get a good grip. So we watch as they pull each other over. And then Hunter goes last because while Tevin's coming over, he grabs his arm onto Tevin's ankle and lets Tevin's momentum pull him also halfway up and over the log spinner thing. Genius idea.
It was
definitely ran that a couple times in the gymnasium that he has in his backyard.
Mama, you go first. I'm coming after you.
Yes. You know that definitely happened where he ran this. He's like, what if? And it was funny because as soon as he did it, I didn't think it was that big of a maneuver, as in, like, it made the most, and I say that because I thought it made the most sense, because when they were helping each other over, I was realizing that what if someone climbs up and helps the next person over? I thought they were. I was thinking that you would turn around. They would help you turn around on the log, and then you would reach your arms over, and then they would pull the first guy's legs down while you're pulling their arms up onto it. I thought of that while I was watching it. But then for him to say to him to piggyback on Tevin's ankles on his own, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. But then I looked at the internet, and the internet was going bananas.
It was not, because nobody's ever done anything like that before. He broke the challenge, because everybody going forward is going to be doing that, because it's the only right thing to do. And it's just so smart and in the moment. And I don't actually believe he practiced that at home. But yeah. I think it was, you know, it was that classic Kawhi Leonard with, you know, less than a second left. Raptors are... They lose the game. They're out of the playoffs. He takes that shot. It has three bounces. It gets right into that net. And yeah. then they end up going on and winning the championship. Yes, I do sports.
Shouts to Philadelphia. You guys still haven't been past the into the Eastern Conference Finals. That was your best chance. And then Kawhi sank that for you. So sorry.
I love you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for going quickly, too.
Sorry, Sixers, but it was such a good move. And then they're still behind, but once they get the pieces dug up, they get to the great equalizer, which is the balancing. And Hunter, I don't know, now editing magic is magic, but it felt like he got it in six tries. Like he was 6%
back to back. I really felt for Q and Tiffany, because first of all, the two of them were killing it in doing that.
Why switch out Tiffany? Tiffany got three of the five. Yeah. Keep her in. We're going to just run Tiffany.
I do agree with that, but I think it's a little bit of Q wanting to do
trying that. To step up and beat a guy.
I think I was a little surprised. Unless she just said, "I'm tired, go."
Yeah, but she's hot hand. You gotta keep going with the hot hand.
He was killing it for that.
Kenzie didn't try it at all. We didn't see Kenzie go at all. Banu, bad. his shots were way short. They are nowhere near.
Nothing was good for Banu.
No, not at all. Not at all. Tracy says that she thinks it was Q's ego. And it might have been. Q might have been like, put me in, coach. Like right here, pass me the rock. And
since he's the coach, he was like, put me in, me.
He also was a star high school running back. He played at Ole Miss wide receiver. He played D1 college football. I could definitely see it being a give me the rock type situation because he is a former D1 athlete. I mean, I get it. I definitely do get it.
Yeah, but she's doing her thing. And we got
she's doing it. And you're not. You're missing. Like you had the rock. You missed. We passed Tiffany. She got it the first time. She went up there. I'm going with the hot hand.
That's what I'm doing. Let's go to the outcome of this. As we said, Hunter and his tribe, Nami, the yellow tribe, win it out. Second place, green tribe, Siga. Well, and over again, Yanu back at the bottom. Well, they were so close.
We get to them and they're like neck and neck. And this is where winners win and losers lose. Because as we're watching, Charlie of Charlie's Angels is just kept focused on trying to put the ball in the hoop, i.e. put the beanbag on the platform. But we look over at Q. Yeah, and Q keeps checking to his right. He keeps checking to his right to see where they're at. And that's where I mean when I say winners win, losers lose. Q was just trying not to lose the challenge, which inevitably led to him losing the challenge. Whereas Charlie was trying to win the game. And so he was focused on winning the game. And that's when I say winners win. If you're focused on not losing, you're more likely to lose, in my opinion.
But Kevin, like you're right. You're so right. But imagine you're in the moment. You are Q. You're a star athlete. You've always been the best whatever player in football in your team. Yeah. You come out on Survivor, you lose not one, not two, Right, like, and you've lost everything. Nothing is going your way, and you're right. It becomes your survival mechanism. All I want to do is not lose. I don't even care if I'm first. I just don't want to lose. So I can't blame him at that at all. I can't. Yeah, but you're right.
Even
he wasn't in the zone. He wasn't mentally there. And you know, we saw him come back, and he was over dramatic and all that crap, but. But there was some truth in what he was saying, that he couldn't get in the zone, but he didn't necessarily go that extra step. Why wasn't I in the zone? And I think now sense, but look, he's also hasn't eaten, hasn't had a fire, hasn't slept properly. Like your mind is not there. And maybe the cue on day one would have won that challenge, but the cue on day whatever it was, seven, did not have a chance.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's because, like, have you played softball before, baseball? When you're playing baseball, softball, they tell you constantly, when you hit the ball, don't look at the ball. Run. Yeah. And when you're looking, it slows you down because you're now focused on where that ball is. And you're no longer focused on running through the bag. And that's where I get the philosophy, because I'm watching Q watch the ball instead of focus on putting that beanbag up there. Because now, if you notice, he starts rushing at the end because he realizes that he's behind by one bag. Then he ties it up, and then he's trying to rush to beat Charlie, whereas Charlie doesn't even know where Q's at in terms of what's going on. So he could just focus. It's just an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Winners win, losers lose, and with that loss, Yanu's going back to Tribal to send home. Banu.
well, look, I don't know if they're going to send home Banu. We're certainly going to talk about it. But before we talk about Banu, because I think we might have about an hour on Banu, but I think we need to talk a little bit about what happened. I hear you've been having symptoms, Kevin, of some premature med evacuation. Are those the symptoms you've been having?
Yes, a premature med evacuation.
Yes.
Man. So I thought this was such an interesting thing, man. Randon wakes up. Randon, right? Did I get his name right?
Randon. Like Brandon, but Randon.
So, yeah, Randon wakes up and says, man, I can't grip my hand, my strong hand. It can't grip. I can't grip my strong hand, Joe. And I thought it was such an interesting thing that he's like, I got to get medical over here to come look at this. I've had some weakness before in like a hand or a ligament. Have you, Sheldon?
Yes. I've had spinal surgery. And yes. I've had issues. Yes.
So I've had a little weakness, not needing nothing serious, spinal surgery, but like I need to give it a little bit of time. Well, Randon has the thing. They have medical come in and check him out. They're like, he's so focused on the fact that he may have to sit out a one challenge. I would not be tripping about the one challenge. I'd be like, y'all, my body's physically not feeling it right now. So let's see how it looks. Let's see what the challenge looks like. Let's see how taxing it looks.
Yeah.
And then let's go from there. And then when they say you have to sit out, you can't sit out the same person. So Liz can't sit out. I'm like, bet. I need to sit out on this one because my body's just not physically up for it at the moment. Okay, cool. That should be the end of the conversation. But 100%. Instead, he gets medical involved. Medical gets involved. They're looking and they're like, okay. And then Jeff comes up there after the challenge is over. Jeff comes to the beach with the doc. And the doc says, you know, I thought it was a pinched nerve, but it could be much more serious. Just like everything could be much more serious. It could be much more serious. We might have a bulging disc, which is a huge deal. So we need to go do an MRI and check it out. Now, I agree, Sheldon. If you have to go and get medical attention outside of this beach, then you should be pulled from the game.
I disagree.
So I don't feel like you can go and get an MRI and then come back and then find out. I feel like this, because this is not a house, because we're on an island, and the idea that we're on an island, that's how that works. I mean, we saw in Big Brother, Christmas went and got a whole cast and on her foot during Big Brother 19. That's not this, because you're not in the house. You can't go see a doc. So
I disagree actually completely.
Go ahead.
So Australian Survivor, I always bring it up because I love it. They've got a rule, 24 hours. If you don't come back within 24 hours, you are in the game. And I think that's absolutely fair. And yes, you're right. You are on an island in Fiji. But on the show, they said, we have your MRI scheduled for tomorrow, which means that the MRI machine is close enough for them to actually go to. It's not like he's flying to another country. He's not leaving, which also then means that he has enough time to get back. So from my perspective, I think that if the necessary next step was that Randon needs an MRI and then they have to make their next decisions, that's exactly what needed to happen without him being pulled from the game. I think that the only, and the truth is, we find out at the end of the show, it was just a pinched nerve. And yes, he would have had some lack of feeling and lack of control and lack of strength. And maybe it would have even started hurting. But he would have had his choice whether he should continue on in the game or not, as opposed to, well, we're just going to go find out what's going on. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to win $1 million. And although I think that if it was more serious, Michael falling into the fire. It was Michael?
Yes.
Skupak? We no longer speak of him. But that I get. You get the hell away. You know you're not coming back from that. But we don't know what's going on. So I don't like this move at all by Survivor. I really don't.
So the question for you. I've never watched Australian Survivor.
Yes.
I started to watch one season, and then I think it got pulled from CBS before, or Paramount Plus before I finished. But
I got links.
Well, I was going to ask you, how often do people have to get medical? They're gone for less than 24 hours and they come back.
It happened a handful of times.
Handful of times. Okay. So it's happened a few times.
Yeah, it's happened enough times that I remember it, and I don't remember anything. And it doesn't impact the game. The only way it impacts the game is if then you come back and you actually cannot perform at challenges. Which you know, that's part of the game. Sometimes you have weaker players. Sometimes you'll have a Syria on your tribe. It's just the way it works.
So the question for you.
Yeah.
And this is just a thought experiment. Yeah. He comes back. Arm still dead. Still dead arm.
Yeah.
Does he have to compete in the next challenge? Yes, right?
No. No. So you mean, does the sit-out rule still work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I think he has to then compete. If we lose, though, Randy, you're going home one way or another, my guy. I think the
answer is, yeah, but me, I don't know is the answer. Like, maybe he doesn't compete.
Well, you know me, Sheldon. I always feel like the game will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And if we go to tribal because Randon's dead arm couldn't let him hold up something, I feel like we need to be sending his ass home because that's not on me, my guy. We lost because of you.
But that's not getting rid of him like that, right? And the truth is, I think that production needs to make medical decisions, but at the same time, it is a television show. And it's not like this guy had nothing sitting in his pocket. It's not like this guy had nothing going on for him, right? So there is, like, I just don't think, I don't see a reason why he needs to be pulled. If the MRI is close enough that it could be done relatively quick and he could come back in, if you could adjust some game things. Like, there's no reason for it. So
I don't disagree with you. I thought it was a little, I mean, we call this point premature med evacuation because I do think it was a little early to be pulling them from this situation. I would have wanted to go another day. Yeah. Now,
well, they weren't sure if they had to actually operate. And look, I've had a bulging disc, exactly as Dawn in our chat has had, going to her sciatic nerve. I've had the exact same thing. And it was hell. Like, physical pain, I would not have been able to continue on a game like Survivor. Like, it's an impossibility. And if that's the case, then it's his choice. It becomes a pain management issue and or a necessity for surgery. But I'll tell you, I had a bulging disc. They didn't operate on me here in Canada for 9 months. So like I had to wait. I wasn't about to die, so they're not operating on me. So maybe he would have been able to last 26 days.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it was too much pain, pull him.
Yeah, 100%.
But if I just got a dead arm today, let's find out what happens tomorrow. let's
see it tomorrow. 100%. And we saw him in his like goodbye message at the end. It looked like he was at Ponderosa for a week or so. He had more facial hair out there. His hand was back to normal. I can't imagine how he felt. He must have been I would have been so annoyed. But the craziest part of him leaving is that he left Tracy with said the it here in the chat. Advantage in his pocket.
Tracy said it right here in the chat. He left with the beware advantage in his pocket. And if the only person that knew about it was Venus, that was her saving grace. It's gone. That's crazy.
I don't understand. So I was upset yesterday, first of all, at random, because why didn't you like give her a hug and during the hug put it in her pocket or something? But then
I don't care about Venus.
What?
If I'm Brandon, I don't really care about Venus.
But I think Brandon does care about Venus. He's the only one that he allied with. But then, you know, Jeff comes out today, Jeff Probst, and clarifies the rule. And the rule in Survivor is, as soon as the doctor says, we are pulling you from the game,
the game's over.
Which I think is insane. It is insane. Cool. It is insane. And it is unfair. Because he is playing a game.
What?
It's not like he knew that they were going to pull him. It's not like he had time to walk around. It's not like he had a chance to give that thing to her. There was no chance for it. At least say, we are considering you very highly to pulling you in the game. We'll give you an hour. And then within that hour, let him do whatever he needs with his idol and with his relationships and whatever he needs to do. But he was basically, all his agency, everything was taken out. Everything that he's done, and my Venus, my fire, my desire has nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing in her pocket.
Yeah.
Except the knowledge that that's probably being rehidden, and she knows exactly what she's going to need to do.
Do you think it's being rehidden?
It better be.
I don't know that it is.
It better be.
I don't know that it is. Now, maybe a regular idol gets hidden. Or something of that nature, but I don't know if the beware advantage is re-hidden.
There's no other. Oh, you mean they wouldn't do a beware? They would do an idol.
Yeah.
Either way, as long as Venus gets it.
Dawn does agree with you here in the chat, but she just says everything except the adoration for Venus. She's not Dawn's fire nor desire. I don't know that. So you look up Jeff. And the doc comes walking onto the beach. You know why they're here. Jeff is only usually here for one reason only.
You're right.
And that's to take somebody out.
Give it to her.
And so,
sorry, but Kevin, the other thing is they were sitting there in three.
I'm so torn.
But they were sitting in three. It's and it's not like he had a chance to walk away or he was just super quickly. Yeah. Like he had no opportunity to do it. Even that's what annoys me.
I'm torn. I hear you. I do. I definitely do. But I'm so torn because like Jeff's right. When the doc code said we're pulling from the game, your game's over. But at the same time, I had something. I had a plan going. I didn't even get a chance to say like my proper goodbyes. I just did like a group goodbye. When I'm about to be voted out. Like I go to tribal knowing that there's a possibility I could be getting up out of here. So this is such a spur of the moment. Tribal is a set setting where we go and we vote and I go home or you go home or whoever goes home. In this situation, we sitting by the beach. I mean, we see in the next scene when Jeff comes and tells Banu and Tiffany that there's not going to be a tribal tonight. He walks in and Banu is pouring his heart out to Tiffany. So when Jeff shows up, ain't nobody know Jeff coming. So I definitely see where you're coming from in that regard.
What's the rationale? What's the rationale against my point? The game's over.
Your game's over. Like that's just like when they say your game is like just like when your torch gets snuffed. My rationale against it is that when he says you're medically we're going to be pulling you from the game, that means you're not taking any risk giving this to Venus any longer for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Before Tribal, you're risking giving your idol to somebody else because you don't know if you're actually going home or not. Things of that nature. Once they say you're being pulled, then your game's over. Now, I think what Jeff should do is they should come down there and they should say, we recommend that you're taken out of the game. Here's the severity of it. What do you think? And then in that time, you get like an hour to consider it, to do, like you said, handle your affairs, whatever you decide to do in that hour.
I say something a little bit different. I say, we are going to pull you from the game. Not you have been pulled from the game. And you have 10 minutes.
Sheldon, by telling you you've been pulled from the game, I know that there's no risk any longer. I'm not making any calculated maneuvers. I'm just giving this to Venus knowing that I'm going home.
Well, no, because you could go ahead and have one-on-ones really quickly with everybody and tell them what you want to tell them or not. Yeah. I don't know. This is really a tough one. I just find it so... I find it heartbreaking on many levels. And it's not like Brandon was popping off the screen. And right. No, he's not going to be Bruce. He's not coming back. It just not happening, right? But he lost his chance for a nothing burger.
True. And here Tracy in the chat says it annoyed her because he only had part of the advantage. He didn't even have the idol because they hadn't lost the challenge yet. And so he didn't have the key that the box that the idol was in.
So hold on, question. If he showed Venus where the idol is.
Yeah.
Does that mean she could go find it when they lose next? And then
she because she doesn't have the beware advantage to get the part where about
the beware advantage.
So she doesn't have she has no risk. That's another thing. She hasn't lost her vote.
Yeah, true.
So true. You know what? I think I'm going the other way with it, right? Is that I think if it was an idol, I'm with you. Like if it was a full-fledged idol, I'm
with but you. If he would have given it to her, then she would have lost her vote at that point. And she would have accepted it.
Okay, so you're saying that she now is the beholder of the beware advantage.
Yes, she would have accepted the beware advantage and the risks and all the...
Everything that entails with it. But, okay, here's another thing, though. The point of the beware advantage is that once you get it, if you open it, you got the cooties on it.
Right.
But she already knows the contents of the note without opening it.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm with you to a degree. The beware advantage makes it a little murkier.
Part of me wonders if Survivor even knows, and that they actually have a rule for this and have thought through this. And maybe part of the reason they just did it the way they did it was, let's just flush it. Let's move on. Let's not make this complicated with rules and stuff.
Possibly. Because another thing that was interesting is that we have this premature med evacuation. Like I said, Jeff then goes...
You just want to say that over and over.
But then Jeff goes to the Yanu tribe, and Banu is reading his last rites to Tiffany and trying to convince her why he should stay. And, I mean, I think it's time to move on to the fourth point.
Yes,
the Banu issue.
No. It's the Banu issue.
The Banu issue is our fourth point today, because this whole episode... was a Banu burger that was just bursting at the seams. My man is just a ball of emotions that constantly is pouring out, even to this point where Jeff tells him you're staying, and he said, I had a whole speech for you, Jeff,
that I'm going to deliver
right now.
Listen, I've got a lot of thoughts about Banu. But I was very uncomfortable at times watching yesterday's episode. there were times in that show when I thought, I do not know what the politically correct way to say this, so I'll just say it. I thought I was watching somebody who may be mentally unstable and have some significant issues and should have actually been pulled from the game.
Well,
obviously, I'm not a doctor. Obviously, I'm not a psychiatrist, a psychologist. But there were some really serious, uncomfortable moments for me in this game. And I don't know. I felt bad watching it, let alone the fact that the first seven minutes of the show was the producers basically editing the episode for him to look like an idiot.
Well, it's interesting because Banu starts off by saying they have to explain this idol play, this like fake idol play. After they explain the fake idol play, he tries to talk to Kinsey and work with her. And if so, Kinsey is an interesting player she's a little too overt. I mean, Dawn mentions it. Banu says that she is a mermaid dragon. So you see mermaid at the top, then dragon at the back, which isn't really like how mermaids work, because the top of a mermaid is a human, and then the bottom is the fin. Like, that's the mermaid part.
No, but whatever. The mermaid is the dragon. So it's just a drag maid.
Uh-huh. Like that's what she would be. She would be a dragon maid.
I don't know.
The mer is the marine part. Yeah. So. So dragon maid, because top is drag in person, bottom is dragon.
Okay, you spent too much time thinking about this because I'm thinking about Banu's mental health. And I have to say, Dawn in our chat says they've only been there for a week. Remember having Audrey her breakdown and then come back. Audrey's breakdown wasn't a breakdown. Audrey's breakdown was a person being sad, uncomfortable, and uncertain about her abilities. To me, Banu's was not that. To me, Banu, I was watching somebody who might have some significant issues.
Well, Banu just stays emotional the whole time. Like, he was emotional last episode. He's been emotional for several days. And in this situation, with the mermaid dragon, with the dragon maid person, he gets a talking to from Q, and Q's like, bro, I want you here. You're the person I want to keep here. He's like, yes, coach. Coach me up. I am someone else said on Twitter, and I thought this was crazy, Sheldon. I thought this was crazy. Someone said, for a man to tell you to your face your liability, and for him to also tell you that you are Philip Shepherd, and you still trust this dude, that's wild.
Well,
that's
not only you still trust this dude, I actually think that Banu had a smile on his face when he was called Philip Shepherd. Like, he was happy to get the Philip Shepherd comparison. If somebody would call me Philip Shepherd, I would bawl even more than Banu. I'd be so sad and embarrassed.
It was so crazy because he took that like a compliment. And he says, all right, coach, I'm going to do what I can to get back in the game. And we watch as Banu goes through the whole, are they trying to keep me to not play my shot in the dark? Maybe they are. Maybe they are trying to not get me to play my shot in the dark. And if they are, can I trust them? But I just want to trust coach. Like, he knows the whole rigmarole while he's standing there talking to himself. And one thing that's interesting is that I don't really think Kinsey's that good of a player. But he thinks she's a mastermind. And I say that because the only reason I say that is because, I mean, she has beautiful green eyes. And she has a 10,000-watt smile. But I don't – Tiffany's not really tricked by her other than that she thinks that she's working with her, which she kind of is. And Q is not fazed by her at all, which is why I don't think that she's that good of a player. And I'm not saying she's a bad player. I want to make sure that's clear. But, like, she's not the danger that Banu has played her out to be in his head, at least not to the degree that she is.
Well, I think the danger is that – you know, we saw a few times when Banu and her were talking and he was so into what she was saying, right? Like, I think that his thought is, holy crap, I hate her and I don't trust her. But when I speak to her, she makes me feel good and I can't stop looking into her eyes. And I'm also gay, but I kind of like her. And I think and that's probably that's the discussion that he's having out loud, which is why everybody knows what he's thinking and not thinking at all. Yeah. Saying it out loud.
It's like, true.
He was just... I don't know. I don't want to dwell on this, but I was waiting for him to be medevac yesterday.
Well, I know you're saying that, but the reason I don't feel like necessarily he was having a manic episode is because we watch as he, I think he's just, as they said before, he's not good at the game. He is, he says when he is on the journey, we get a journey this episode where he goes along with Ben, which was super annoying, and they go with Liz. And Ben, I mean, the amount of times Ben said, That is not rock, bro. That is so rock. It was like, come on, man. That Ben's annoying. I'm ready for Ben to go. But when he's there, he just divulges absolutely everything.
He thought he was doing a confessional with the producers.
Correct. And not just that, he's crying and he has his head down, his head in his hands, and he's just
okay, but Kevin. That's my problem. I don't think that's normal. Sorry.
I think this man lives. I think he said that he didn't come for $1 million. He came to win 1 million hearts. And I think
if this guy wins this game, Kevin.
Oh no. He's not gonna win. But what I'm getting at is that for a person that came to win 1 million hearts, I think you just wear your heart on your sleeve. And I think that he doesn't, and I mean, we saw in the exit interview stuff last week, Jess was like, I was just ready to be away from these people, right? Jelinski didn't like him that much neither. I think Q, Tiffany, and Kinsey are a threesome that they just haven't vibed with these other people. On Jeff's podcast, he mentioned that some people, the three of them have Banu coming off a little annoying, and they're trying to not show Banu as annoying. I think they are just not feeling him. And so he thinks he's going to go and divulge everything and gain some sympathy, but all they see him as is, as Q said, a liability. Now, Q wants to turn a liability into an asset. But that's not always the case.
Sometimes liabilities are just losers. Sometimes losers lose, Kevin, as you say. I don't think you could make Banu an asset in this game because Banu doesn't have the ability to shut his mouth. Banu doesn't have the ability to think strategically. Banu doesn't trust anybody, and he trusts everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
I just don't think, you can't make, listen, manure is really good. It's good for the grass and the ground. But that's the only thing it's good for.
It's also cow poop. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. I think one thing that's so funny is how he says, how they told him the idiom of, you got to keep your cards close to your chest. They got no one to hold them, no one to fold them. And then he says.
But you see, that's what I meant when they tried to make fun of him. That was unnecessary.
Well, he said, I don't even know what this means. I don't know what none of that means.
It was unnecessary. Made him look like a fool. Like, it's not like he doesn't, like, he comes from another country. He doesn't know those. Like, that was so unnecessary.
Well, who do you think, man, try to make the editors or the?
Oh, I'm upset at the editors, not at Bonnie.
Okay. Because I think they, when they told him you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, I think they were trying to just get across to him. You got to keep your lips shut. Yeah. I mean, you can lie to Jeff.
And Kevin.
Says, I can't lie to Jeff.
He thinks that he's in like the court of law and he was sworn in, and Jeff is the judge and God and his guru evidently. But like I don't know. I just want to make one comment about Q. Q is not a good guy. The way he talks to Banu came off to me a little bit condescending and uncomfortable as well. Like, there were moments with Q that I was like, like, and I guess, I don't know if I would be dealing with Banu. The truth is, if I would have Banu on my tribe, I probably just wouldn't have patience.
No, so, here's the thing. Banu's not, I mean, Q's not a bad guy. Q has no idea how to... He's there to play the game on a purely game level. There's no nuance to his game. And, I mean, first and foremost, I think we need to also right here acknowledge both of us dead wrong on Tiffany.
Completely dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
I think she's going to be there for a long, long time.
Tiffany's one of the better players. She's one of the best players on this game of this season, if not in this game that I've seen in a long time. She's funny. She's smart. She's good at the challenges. She gives her all. She's very likable. We were dead wrong.
So Tiffany,
shouts to you. Shouts to you. But I think she is the best player out there, whereas Q has a one-track mind and it's all game. I mean, he wants to get rid of Kinsey because she is going to come for him eventually. He wants to save Banu because he wants to turn the liability into an asset, whereas Kinsey is just a threat. I think that the way he talks to Banu is not as a person talking to an insanely emotional person. He talks to him as a player talking to another player. And purely
you're Philip Shepherd. Is that a player talking to another player?
He thinks he can control Banu.
Sometimes wackadoodles win. That's talking to another player.
He called himself a wackadoodle. He called himself a wackadoodle, and he was trying to tell him that he had the chance to win the game.
Yeah, look, I don't know. Like, it was awkward at times. Maybe I was in the I don't understand what I'm seeing with Banu and why I'm seeing so much of this, and I'm terrified for his life. And that's why everything I was sensitive that everything other people were saying to him that time. But that was something. And I do want to have a quick comment on Kenzie, because I think you're right. I think that Kenzie is completely overplaying. She needs to pull a Tiffany and chill a bit. Like, just chill. Yes, she actually has everything going for her. She is like, if she was just shut up, she could definitely paint Q and Tiffany as being completely a pair together and far bigger of a risk than her alone. Like, because they are in truth, and it's just the reality. And I think that she could paint that if she wants, but she just needs to relax.
Yeah, she's doing too much. And with Kinsey doing so much, it makes her manipulation too obvious, which is why Q's able to clock it. And Tiffany's like, yeah, everything Q's saying makes sense as to why we should get rid of Kinsey. But I want Kinsey for myself, but I can see why he's saying that she could be for everyone else too. It's too apparent. And it's because she's overplaying that. Like I said to you last week, that move with the idol was let's go with it because Kinsey wants to do it, but it, like y'all said, it was unnecessary.
Is that my problem in orgs? Am I too nice to everybody?
In orgs, no, because you are nice to everyone, and people do feel like hurt by you, like later. But then there's people that you like actually do want to work with, you love, like myself.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not really worried about it.
Okay. So, final thoughts on Banu as we go into our thoughts on our winner picks.
Banu's going to go home, right? He's going to go home. He can never win this game. I don't know that he knows he can't win the game. And I say that because he thinks he can't win the game for certain reasons. The moment he broke down to Ben and Liz and told them everything, there's absolutely nothing he can do to win the game now, because even if you're sitting in the final three, no one can take you seriously.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Well, but is that not a reason to keep him around?
I didn't say he couldn't stick around, Sheldon.
Well, you said he couldn't win the game.
I said he couldn't win the game, though. Oh, if this tribe, if Yanu doesn't go to two more tribals, he'll be gone in the next two tribals.
Do you think we're about to see a swap?
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. If we see a swap, things could be different, but Banu could still be on the bottom.
I don't think so. I think if we see a swap, Banu's at the bottom everywhere else. He's a loose cannon, dangerous loose cannon. And he's painted a pretty bad thing for the rest of the three.
Dude, okay, hold on. When he comes back from the journey, so the journey, as you know, you get the rocks, and then if you got the white rock, you lose your vote, you don't even get to do anything. He comes back, he says that's what happened to him. He tries to tell him that he didn't lose his vote. We get a confessional from Kinsey that talks about him coming back and not getting an advantage. we get a confessional from Tiffany, who's like, something doesn't sound right. The fish smell a little dead. Like, I'm not really feeling. He said he didn't say nothing, but he didn't say much about him saying nothing, which means I think he said everything. And if he said everything, he's dead to me. Like,
yep. And she's right. She's fully right. She's so right. And then he goes and tells Q everything.
Yes.
Anyways, I don't know. I really hope this doesn't turn into the Banu season because I'm over it already. It was a lot yesterday. It was a lot. So, Kevin, now that we went through our top moments of the game, let's go to our two winner picks. I'd love you to start first.
Well, let's do our three because Hunter, that's Kylie's winner pick. And Hunter had some good moments this episode. He had a lion's share of their tribe's screen time. So that's good for Hunter. Jim's my person. She found an advantage. They even had, and Sheldon, did you notice this? They said that if your tribe does not go to tribal, there will be further instructions later. They had them read that part. I think they never go to tribal.
Yeah, clearly. They're never going to tribal.
I think she never goes to tribal. So even if they switch it up, I don't think she ever goes. So then she's going to have to figure it out at that point.
Yeah. She's going to get her idol at Merge is what's going to happen.
That's what's going to end up happening. And I think that's great for Jim. Yeah. I thought this episode did great setting up for Jim. And we saw her having a bit of a relationship with Charlie. That's pretty good. I like it for Jim. It helps with the winners at it. I think there's a chance that I feel good about her as a winner.
Yeah, I want to go back to – I completely agree with you on Jim. I think she's wonderful. I have to say that Hunter is doing a great job creating strong relationships. He's the worker bee. Heck, I want to sleep on that bed. I look great. He's winning challenges single-handedly. Like, why get rid of him? Except I am a little concerned that he's going to become too big of a threat.
Lies. Because Venus goes and says to Randon, obviously Tevin and Hunter are running this tribe. And Randon goes, Hunter. Hunter. He run the tribe. Hunter. I don't see it.
Yeah, but Randon's gone. And
right.
And the only thing Randon could do was wake up with a weak arm and find the beware advantage.
I don't think though that other people think Hunter's running the tribe. I think Tevin's out there running the tribe. Only Venus sees that Hunter is, if you will.
Yeah, but I think that the risk of him is his challenge ability when we get into you know individual immunities. Because it's not just that tribe that's going to have to figure it out. It's everybody else that has seen him break a survivor game and single-handedly win a competition. And I assume this is going to continue. So if I were him, I would slow it down.
Yeah, got to turn it down a bit.
Slow it down. And I think the only reason maybe he actually turned it up in that thing is because they were losing. And so he had no choice but to show it because he did not want to go to tribal. But chill. Yeah. And maybe that's why we didn't see him that much thus far in other challenges.
Shelly, tell us about your winner pick.
Well, my winner pick is Kenzie, that I'm slowly getting more and more afraid about. Because, as I said, she is overplaying. She needs to relax. On paper, to me, she does actually seem like a survivor winner. She's very charismatic. She's not a complete idiot. But she is getting in her own way, and she's going to be thought of as a threat when we get to Merge. She's not, nobody will fully trust her, even if they say, like, I don't know. She can't win challenges. I think she's getting to Merge, but I don't think she's going to be going far and winning this game, sadly. I think my winner pick is currently in the worst position of all of our winner picks.
I agree. Tracy says, what happens if they switch tribes and Jim goes to a different beach? She can't finish the beware advantage. I think that might mean that there is no swap.
Maybe.
I think that might mean that there's no swap, because you're right. That's a good point, Tracy. If she can't be there, but it's no fault of her own, because they don't lose and she doesn't have the box, that would be unfortunate and not really fair. So I think there's a chance that there is no swap, and they stay on these beaches. And
unless when they do have a swap, they strategically make sure that, you know,
whichever tribe Jim goes to, she goes, they're going there.
They're going to that island. They're going to that beach. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure it all works out.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of canoodling by producers. Anyways, this was, I don't want to say it was a great episode because I don't actually completely know what it was. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen, but not for the best reasons. So final thoughts, Kevin.
Final thoughts is I did think this was a good episode. I think 90 minutes is the sweet spot. I'm excited to see more of Jim and Tiffany. And I want to see more of Tevin, man. I think Tevin's hilarious. I like to see him on screen. I like to see more of him. Banu is going bye-bye, I think, if he stays in this tribe situation. And Kenzie is a dragon maid.
I want to see more of Maria. That's the only other person that you didn't mention that I would love to see. And I actually do like Charlie quite a bit. I think he's going to be endearing and fun throughout this game. So, yeah, three episodes in. So far, so good. Some Survivor is better than no Survivor. I'm terrified for Banu. Let's see what happens. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me. Everybody in our chat, Don, Tracy, thank you for joining us. Please come back to us next week, Thursday, 9, 8 central. What are you? Six specific. We will talk about episode number 4. We'll see if Banu gets funnier, if Tiffany gets better and even better than she is already, and if somehow we will find out if Ben Katzman finds a way to build a guitar and actually play it on that island so he can rock out. For Kevin, my name is Sheldon. Thank you all for joining us. See you again next week.